But I am so glad to be here. Listen, I want to be a good son. So we got two passages of scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. And these might be verses that you are very familiar with. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Deuteronomy chapter 5, 33 says, "For you shall walk in the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it might go well with you." How many of you want it to go well with you? "That you might live long in the land that you shall possess." You know, and we think about this idea, if you actually just, you know, I like when I look through the word, I like to see in between the lines sometimes, and there's a lot of walking that occurs in scripture. Have you ever thought about how much walking occurs in the scripture? Like, you know, so you know, you say, Jesus says things like, "Let us go to Capernaum." How do you think that they got there? Right? There was no Uber. It was walking. You know, he says that in Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4. They walked. You know, people of Israel wandered the desert, Joshua chapter 5, for 40 years. That was a lot of walking, right? They marched around the city of Jericho over and over again, Joshua chapter 6. Walking. Lots and lots of walking. Jesus said, "Go to Galilee and you'll see me there," Matthew 28. In fact, we see in Exodus that they crossed across the Red Sea on dry land. They walked. There's a lot of walking. And I know we live in Texas, and Texas is not known as the pedestrian nirvana. You need a ride, you know. And I grew up in Canada, but my kids were all born. They are Texan, and how I know they are Texan, like they're not just American, they're Texan. My son is 14, and he's not quite old enough for his driver's license, but he has already put in his order. This is how I know that we are Texan now. He's already put in an order for a pickup truck, right? Which it kind of reminds me of a story of a father and son, and the son was kind of coming of age and was getting ready, wanted to have a car, and went to his dad, "Dad, you need to buy me a car. I want you to buy me a good car." And the dad turns and goes, nope. "Not as long as you got that long hair. No way to a car as long as you got that long hair. You cut your hair, we can talk about a car, but no way. And so the son thinks about it for a while, and he goes, I got him. So he goes back to his dad and goes, "Hey, dad, let me just inform you. Jesus had long hair." And dad didn't even miss a beat. And he goes, "Well, and Jesus walked everywhere he went to, too." So be like Jesus, right? My son here has beautiful long hair. We get a picture of him. And yeah. Here's what I say. Enjoy it while you can, son. I used to have hair like that. Look at me now. That's all I want to say. And now before you say, "Well, the bald gene comes from the mama," grandpa is bald too. So I just want you to know that's where we are. Title of the message today is "Take a Walk." Because we all have a walk with the Lord. And I want to just tell you that our walk with the Lord ought to be our life's greatest adventure. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Point number one is we walk with focus. We walk with focus. And I'm going to read a passage of scripture that is very familiar, but how many of you know that the word of God is inexhaustible? How many of you know that you can read the same verse over and over again, and at the thousandth time you can get a new revelation that you didn't get the first time? So just don't check out of the story because you think you've heard it before, because there might be something that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you. Let me set this up. Jesus had been preaching all day. I mean, Jesus knew how to work. His disciples were with him. They were working. He was preaching. It was awesome. And then Jesus said, "You know what? I need some time to spend with the Lord by myself." So he told the disciples, he says, "Hey, y'all, Because Jesus was texting too, right? I don't know where y'all came from, but. Hey, y'all, take the boat, go to the other side, I'll meet you later. I don't know why nobody questioned Jesus. If we take the boat, how are you gonna meet us on the other side later? Nobody questioned him, but that's that, and so they did. They took off. We pick it up in verse 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against him. This was the fourth watch of the night. Okay, so this here is the middle, it's the middle of the night. This is Jesus, came to them walking on the sea. How many of you know Jesus knows how to make an entrance? Picture this here for a second. Disciples are in the boat, it's the middle of the night, right? So all it is Jesus' moonlit silhouette while he's walking on the water. There were no lights on the boat. There was no electricity, just like there was no Uber, no electricity. It's moonlight and stars. And here comes Jesus walking on the water. That's the sound of Jesus' feet. Now the disciples see all they see, and Jesus' hair blowing in the wind, trench coat blowing in, or tunic blowing in the wind. Jesus is he's rolling up smooth. The disciples were freaked out. Listen, that's not normal. There is a figure walking towards them on the water. And so they started hooping, hollering, shouting. They thought it was a ghost. They were afraid. Verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to him. And watch this. Jesus says, "It is I. Do not be afraid." And I think his voice lowered too when he said it. And Peter, I love Peter. Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out on the water." And Jesus goes, "Come on." So Peter in the boat, right? With the rest of the disciples. Everybody knocks Peter for getting in the boat because, you know, spoiler alert, you know, he sinks, you know, a little bit. But he was the only one who got out. Give the brother some credit. He got out, right? I'm going to show you why he was a brother in a minute, because he couldn't swim. And so... It's true. So Peter moves towards Jesus, takes a step out of the boat. Shh. He doesn't sink. Shh. Shh. Peter's like, "Man, this is all right." Now the Bible says that as he is going, the wind and the waves and the storm that was around him began to caught his eye. Now notice, while Peter is focused on Jesus, everything's okay. While Jesus has Peter's full attention, everything's all right. But the minute he begins to take his eyes off of Jesus and on the situation and circumstances around him, and by the way, that's what we do sometimes in our lives. While we got a word from the Lord, we're following God's plan for our lives, and we're walking towards his purpose, and we're focused on the things that we're supposed to be focused on, we're okay. But the minute we get our eyes off of Jesus, like Peter, we begin. It didn't say that he fell in the and drowned. He just begun to sink. And he sinks and gets lower, and he begins to cry out for help. Help, help, help. He couldn't swim. Couldn't swim. That is why we can, you know, most theologians believe Peter was a brother. Our people are not known for our. I'm gonna stop right there. Verse 31, Jesus immediately reaches out his hand to took hold of him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, let me just say that maybe you've gotten your eyes off of the Lord. Maybe you find yourself focusing on a distraction. By the way, if you focus on a distraction, it will become your main attraction. And if you begin to, and the same way that you took your eyes off and your focus and attention off the Lord, you can put it back on the Lord. And you say, "Well, Peter physically got to see Jesus." By the way, you can physically get to see Jesus too. Because John says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." If you put your eyes on the Word, you're putting your eyes on Jesus. If you don't let the Word of God depart from before your heart and before your eyes and before your sight, you'll be okay. It's just like putting your eyes on Jesus. But Jesus says something that is fascinating to me. He says to Peter, "Oh, you of little faith." Little faith. We in church, y'all, want to take a little poll, right? Because we all can agree, Peter walked on the water a bit before he sank, right? We all agree, right? A little bit. Okay, how many of you have tried to walk on the water? Raise your hand. Don't lie, we in church, okay. So you know it's not easy to walk on the water. We're the real faith people. You tried with your shoes on, your clothes on. It wasn't like you were in the pool. Okay, two of you, that's good. It's not easy. Jesus, it's easy for you to say, "Oh, you of little faith," right? How many of you tried to walk on the water and got a running start? That's how I tried. I'm like, listen, if I just run real fast, maybe I can get a couple of steps in. That didn't work either. Listen, that word little there is from the Greek oligopistos, which comes from the Greek word oligo, which means short. It means short. Jesus wasn't saying to Peter, "You need a greater amount of faith." He was saying, "The faith that you had, you need to make it last for more than a little while. Don't be so quick to give up and cave in and quit when things don't go your way or the circumstances around you don't seem very good. Don't give up and don't let go of the word that God has put in your heart." And I'll tell you, we serve a God. Jesus is the guy who walks on top of the stuff that everybody else is drowning in. And if we would walk with him and link arms with him and link hearts with him, we can walk on the stuff that everybody else is drowning in too. Number two, we walk towards his lead. I'm trying to watch the time because Lord Jesus, you know. It's easy for you. You're just sitting and just taking in the word. I got work to do here. Number two, we walk towards his leading. Mark chapter 10. Verse 46, we walk towards his leading, or we walk towards his voice. We see blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sat on a highway side begging. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, he began to cry out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." But you know, the people around Bartimaeus weren't impressed by his hooping and hollering and shouting. In fact, the Bible says that they told him to shh, hush, be still. In fact, they told him, hey, Bartimaeus, shut up. He's by the highway side begging, and the Bible says that he cried out all the more, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And they're trying to get him to be quiet and hush and be still and to shut up. But his hooping, hollering, and shouting caught the attention of Jesus. And so Jesus says, hey, bring that guy over to me. Bring him to me. And I want you to notice this. In verse 49, Jesus still commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer. Rise, he calleth thee." These were the same cats that just a few minutes ago were telling him to shut up. And by the way, when you believe in God, there might be people that don't believe in your dream, don't believe in your plan, don't believe you'll be healed, don't believe things will work out, and they will be naysayers, and they'll spread doubt and unbelief and lies and rumors and gossip. And then all of a sudden, when God actually moves and does what he says he's going to do in his word, they're like, oh, I believed in him all along. Here's what else. So he gets up. Bartimaeus gets up, verse 50, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now, I want you to catch the significance of him casting away his garment. See, when somebody today, in today's vernacular, is visually impaired, you might have seen them with a with you know those long white sticks. It's called a guide cane. Or another word for it is a symbol cane. It's a symbol cane. It's an indicator to the world around that this person is visually impaired. So then, back then, there was a garment that did this. And so Bartimaeus had this garment, and he's sitting there. He can't see. Jesus calls him, and Bartimaeus chooses to get up. He still hasn't received his sight yet, but he cast away his garment even before he could see. And Bartimaeus had to begin to take a walk. He had to take a walk of faith. And even though he couldn't see where he was going, he was stumbling in the darkness, listening to the sound of Jesus's voice, and he moved towards that word. He moved towards that sound, even though he didn't see it yet, even though he didn't receive it yet, he moved. We get to move according to the sound of the voice of the Lord. And even though we can't see it yet, and even though it hadn't happened for us just yet, we can let go of the thing that was behind us. We can let go of the old identifiers in our life. Why? Because we're not that thing anymore. You don't have to be that anymore. So he moves towards the sound of Jesus' voice. He gets to Jesus. Jesus asks him a question that I think is remarkable. It's like a Captain Obvious question, right? Jesus says, verse 51, and Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou do unto thee? Basically, Jesus goes, what you want? What you need? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus, he's blind. You can see that everybody can see, but you know what? There is something in the asking. Yeah, you know, Pastor Mark references this scripture during oversight that we make our requests known to God. It's not because he doesn't know. He knows. But it's an opportunity for us to put our trust and our belief in him that he will perform what he said he's going to perform in our lives. The Bible says you have not because you ask not, you ask and you have not because you ask amiss, because you ask contrary to what God's word says. Number three, we walk with others. I just tell you, one of the reasons that groups are so important here at Gateway Church and why gatherings are so important if you're watching at a Gateway gathering, it's important to, listen, we've got to break the Lone Ranger mentality that exists in the church and in the body of Christ because we're not supposed to do life by ourselves. We're designed for connection. We're designed to roll with a group of people that'll pray for us, that'll help us, that'll serve with us. And we see this story in Ruth, where Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws, and let me just set it up. So Naomi's husband had passed away. She had two sons who had married Ruth and Orpha, but her two sons also passed away. So it's just the three of them now. It's Naomi. It's Orpha and it's Ruth, and they're trying to figure out what to do and where to go. And essentially, Naomi goes, hey, girls, listen, y'all go your own way, right? Just go find new husbands, build a new life, go back home to your parents. Just go. And they kind of go back and forth a little bit, and you know, they don't want to go, but maybe they do. And we pick this story up in verse 14 in Ruth chapter 1. And again, they wept together, but Orpah decides to go. She's like, peace. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. Mwah. But Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. Verse 15, look, Naomi said to her, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should go too. You need to go do the same. But Ruth replied, watch this. Watch how strong this is. Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die. By the way, this is where we get the, this was the first ride or die, right here. This was right here. Ruth and Naomi. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. Watch this. So the two of them continued on their journey. Now, why do I encourage people to get in a group, get in a group, get in a group? Because community is important. You're not supposed to do life alone. Why do we talk about community nights at every campus? Man, we want to get people in a group or in community nights. Why? Because you're supposed to have connectivity. You're supposed to have a tribe. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. When one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Now, I want to encourage you, we don't walk alone. We don't walk alone at Gateway Church. You're not supposed to walk alone. And you know, can I just tell you, in our culture today, there is an epidemic of loneliness. And here's what we do. We put our avatar out to the world. What do I mean by avatar? It's your Instagram, your Facebook, your TikTok, your whatever it is that you use. And here's you just put out these highlight reels of y'all just the best. What? That's not real life. And so here's the lie that the enemy uses. You just, because you can scroll through and you just see everybody's happy, 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 happy. They're just happy, happy, happy every minute of the day. And you're like, I'm not happy every minute of the day. There must be something wrong with me. And then the enemy comes in and says, you're the only one. There's something wrong with you. No, you're just comparing your real life to somebody else's highlight reel. What I loved about what Ruth did with Naomi is she insisted. We're going to be friends. We are going to be friends. I see some of my friends here, right here. We're going to be, I'm letting you go. No, I'm coming over. Or we're going to go eat. Or I'm going to pray for you. Man, I'll tell you, we need to insist that we're not going to do life alone. And I don't know if we've got a group's booth in the lobby, but I'm just telling you, find a group, find a community, find a tribe, find a gathering. I found myself, you know, so I walk personally, I walk a lot, and I'm, you know, I listen to worship music, which, yeah, I don't want to, listen, find your, download the album, y'all, it's good. And, but here's what it did, Pastor David, is as I was listening, I'm like, ooh, and I come to church all the time. I mean, y'all, I work here, I'm in church all the time. But here's what happened. I'm like, I miss being in worship. I miss being in the room, right? And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but those of you that are watching online, no guilt, I'm not guilty here. No guilt trip. No guilt, maybe a little guilt. No. Whatever the Holy Spirit says, there's just something about being in the room with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that just, you can't replicate it. There's just a tangible, I found myself missing it. Really, no guilt unless the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. Speaking of coming to church, this was kind of planned, but not planned. Luke chapter 4. Jesus comes to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and I want you to see this. As his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Let me just tell you, Jesus was a churchgoer. Jesus, as his custom was, he went to church. And so again, I'm not guilty, you know, we've got gatherings, I'll find a gathering, find a place where we can gather, refuse to do life alone. Let me just say, even though you're in a room filled with people, you can still be alone. Don't let yourself be alone. And sometimes we want to put it on somebody else. Well, I wish somebody would invite me out to eat. Well, you hungry too. Why don't you do the inviting? You know why? Because the person by you, around you, across the room from you, they're hoping that somebody would invite them, and everybody's standing against the wall wishing somebody would pick them. You can be the leader. Number four. I might finish on time in Jesus' name. People that know me well will know that that is a Christmas miracle that would be happening here. Number four, we walk with him. You want to talk about like the perfect will of God? You know, we get a glimpse of this in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, where God walks with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. He walks with them, right? We're not supposed to walk alone, but we're also supposed to walk with God. We're supposed to walk close to his word. And in verse 8, it says, when the cool evening breezes were blowing. Doesn't that sound nice right now? Woo! How many of you can just, Lord, send a cool evening breeze? Yes. As I said, you know, I like to walk. I like to run. It's where I pray. It's where I process. You know, I try and do it like in the evenings, thinking like there's something psychological that I'm like, okay, if I do it late and the sun's not shining, it'll be cool. It's 8 o'clock at night and 100 degrees outside still. Like, touch your neighbor and say, that ain't right. And so when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about the garden, so they hid themselves from the Lord. Why did they hide themselves? Because they did something wrong. They did something wrong. They hid. And sometimes that's what we want to do because we've all messed up. I've messed up. I've messed up big time, y'all. Big, big, big. Stupid, stupid, stupid decisions. And sometimes our natural tendency is we want to go hide. Let me hide. Let me try and cover up my shame and my embarrassment. It's what Adam and Eve did. It's not hiding from your mistakes is not a new concept. They ran and hid. What God is actually wanting you to do is the exact opposite. When my kids they're still young, but when they were younger, when something was wrong, a good parent, you know what a good parent wants? They want their kid to run towards them, not run away from them, even if they messed up. Even if they took like Papa's, you know, brand new pair of shoes that, you know, and messed them over, you know, like I'm not saying that that's happened in our household, but it hadn't. He's good. You want them to run towards. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. Verse 9, here's what the Lord says. The Lord called out, "Where are you? Adam, where are you?" It wasn't that God was inquiring about where their geographical location was. God knew exactly where they were. But he was saying, "How has it come to this that you've separated yourself from me?" And I think for some of us in this room today, and some of you that are watching online, God is saying that same question, "Where are you?" Because it's his desire for it is his desire that you are not far away from him. And I got news for you. No matter what you've done, no matter what mistake you've made, God is not mad at you. Some people think that God is this old man in heaven, you know, with lightning bolts or something, waiting to strike somebody. God is not mad at you. In fact, he wants you to just come to him with the mess, with the stumbles, with the mistakes, with the problems, with the situations that are too big for you to handle. And say, here, here. I want to encourage you, it's time for you to find your stride again. I want you to take a walk, but we want your walk with the Lord to be thriving. We want you to walk with others. We want you to walk with focus. We want you to walk with purpose. Psalm 23, verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil. We get to walk with him. Proverbs 16, 9 says, many are the ways of a man's heart, but the Lord directs his steps. I don't know where you are today. I want to invite you, like we say every week, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Maybe you've planned out your life. Maybe you planned out your education. Maybe you planned out your business. Maybe you planned out this big deal. Maybe you've planned out your family and it's not working the way you want. Maybe you find yourself, your walk with God, shaky. Maybe you feel his presence distant. God wants to help you find your stride again. He wants to help you find your step again. He wants to help you find your joy again. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Walking with God is supposed to be fun. Maybe you've lost your joy. Maybe you're having, either online or in this room, you can't even get a good night's sleep, because you're restless and worried. Maybe you feel the sting of being alone. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And truly, like we say every week, what is the Holy Spirit saying? In a moment, Pastor Mark's gonna come back. But I wanna invite those of you here and those of you watching to take a walk. Take a walk. For some of you, it is going to be to walk to the front of this room and receive prayer. And to acknowledge to somebody else, I need help. Will you pray with me? Will you walk with me? Will you step in while God moves? For those of you that are at a Gateway gathering, it might be to walk to the front of the room that you're watching in. You're watching in a space where you can just simply DM or chat, make a connection. I want to invite you to take a walk. And I want to remind you, listen, taking a walk down the aisle does not mean you're some big bad sinner. We all need prayer. Listen, this past week, I've been begging for prayer from every person I know because I was coming to minister the word to you. Please, will you help? Will you pray? In fact, in the green room, we prayed. Pastor James texted me this afternoon. Hey, I pray. I'm like, oh man, okay. My leader's praying for me. I'm okay. We all need prayer. We all need prayer. So Lord, we come to you today. Lord, we thank you that it is your good pleasure to walk with us, to restore the areas in our lives that are hurting, that are broken, that need you. And so, Lord, I pray right now that you would draw every person that needs prayer to come and to receive prayer. And, Lord, I thank you that we can live and walk in a renewed walk with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.